application on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for today is We All Make Mistakes. Today, Wednesday, is the 11th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and We listen to chapter Baqarah, verses 270 to 271.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلمه وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ
And whatever you spend of expenditures or make of vows, indeed Allah knows of it. And for the wrongdoers there are no helpers.
إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ ويكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم والله بما تعملون خبير
If you disclose your charitable expenditures, they are good. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, it is better for you. And He will remove from you some of your misdeeds thereby. And Allah, with what you do, is fully acquainted.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Spending in charity here means whatever you spend in the way of Allah or in the way of Satan. Giving alms hiddenly is better for you, and its due reward is better and more. The purpose of alms that the concealment of which is better is the recommended alms because making the obligatory alms manifest is more reasonable.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Dear brothers and sisters, if you remember, in this week we cover the topic about our mistakes and that we all make mistakes. We continue talking about that topic. Some make mistake because they travel on the road less taken, strolling in the undiscovered territories, doing things that were never done before. Here there is no definite path, no definite technique. All you have is a dream, a goal, and all you can do is experiment until you succeed. Others make mistakes because they blindly walk on the path created by the others without realizing that they have different potential, sincerity, capabilities, luck, friends, background, and life in general. A teacher teaches the same thing in an exact same manner to a group of students in a class, but each student attains a different level of success. When people understand this fact, after making mistakes, they are, again, left in an unfamiliar territory and experimentation, and mistakes follow. And yes, then there are certain people who never do anything. They just sit back and relax and are thus bound to make no mistake, without ever realizing that this is the biggest mistake of their lives. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to take lessons from our own mistakes. Usually, we find that parents and teachers encourage students to go to school to continue their lessons and to find out in what respect or respects he or she had some mistakes, and in order not to make those mistakes, what should be done. Now we find that how should we take lessons from our own mistakes? We find that we have to, when we make the same mistakes over and over again, okay, first of all, we lose our time, because some time is spent in order to make some efforts or to do something. But, I mean, we find that at the end, we've come up with nothing. First of all, our energy is wasted, okay, or our time is wasted. And then we find that we don't receive the right development or the right growth. Another one is that it leads to our sense of indignation and frustration and feeling frustrated. Another one is that we may lose our sense of relying on the help of other people. In order to be successful, we have to take lessons from our own mistakes, okay? We shouldn't think that we are, I mean, we may be alive forever and ever, so that we may have enough ample and eternal time or limitless time for doing everything over and over again, even if utterly, I mean, wrong.
Speaking about mistake, it's nice to look at how Prophet Muhammad corrected mistakes. Don't go looking for mistakes. The Prophet often used his role as a leader and community educator to correct mistakes for the benefit of all listeners, but in a discreet way that hid the identities of involved parties. He would say, "What of people who commit such an action?" This way, he generally warned people of pitfalls while discreetly altering the people involved in the mistake to repent and rectify their wrongdoing. Prophet Muhammad forbade gossip and backbiting and rejected any broadcast of people's mistakes. He asked people not to report anything negative about the companions to him. Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family accepted people's words for what they were and did not probe to uncover hidden flaws. He did not put people under a magnifying glass and guess at their motives. You should avoid searching out people's mistakes in order to uncover more and greater faults. Prophet Muhammad said, "Whoever searches out the shortcomings of a brother, Allah will search out his shortcomings." أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد. It's a little strange, but let's look at the benefits of making mistakes. Mistakes make us stronger. Each mistake, brother and sister, where survive, bolsters and strengthens our character, giving us the confidence, the resilience, and the certainty that we can go on. We can take on tough challenges and we can survive. The other benefit is that mistakes focus the mind on what really matters. Mistakes help us focus on what we really want. When we mess up in our relationships and fear hurting or even losing those we love, our mistakes are a valuable wake-up call. They can motivate and inspire us to helping us to gain clarity and commitment to try harder and to appreciate that which matters most.
Allah never closes His door upon us. The door of repentance is always open for anyone who's sincere and starting fresh and starting new with Allah Azza wa Jal. They may. It could be a person who's 90 years old but decides to start fresh with Allah and begin a new chapter. Allah starts a new chapter. There's a hadith that says if we take one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards us. If we take the initiative to start a new relationship with Allah, Allah will start a new relationship with us. Allah doesn't turn anyone down. Allah never says that I gave this person too many chances and enough is enough. You know, at work, if you make a mistake, you get one or two chances, no more, to correct your mistake. But you don't get a new chance every day. If you go late to work one day, you're supposed to be at work at 8 a.m. Because it's Ramadan and you're sleeping late, you slept in, you go to work at 9. It could happen once, twice, but you can't do it every day. If you do it every day, you will surely be fired. If not on the third day of work, but on the fourth, on the fifth. Because everything has a limit. Everyone loses their patience sooner or later, except Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah never loses His patience. Allah is always patient with us, just like parents. The only people that give chances are parents, right? No matter how many mistakes you do, your parents always give you another chance. Allah is more merciful with us than our own parents. Because some parents also get fed up with their teenage son, with their teenage daughter, they kick them out of the house. If a teenage son or daughter, they come back late at night, they're given one, two, three chances. But if they want to do it every night, surely they'll be kicked out of the house. But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't kick anyone away from His house, away from His mercy. Never.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, inshallah. We meet you in another episode of today's special. Until then, we leave you in Allah's protection.
I don't wanna run anymore. Forgive me, Lord, don't close your door. I promise I surrender. I'm giving you my heart and my soul. I've been thinking about my past. I wanna say I found you, Lord, at last. I just wanna tell you that I really love you. I know you'll always be by my side.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and yesterday we observed the passing away anniversary of Hazrat Fatima al-Ma'suma, peace be upon her, who reposes in eternal peace in the city of Qom, where devotees seek her intercession with God Almighty with these words. O Fatima, intercede for me for the reward of paradise, for certainly you have with God a lofty status.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In our previous program, we spoke about the concept of Husn al-Dhan and some of the consequences, and one of the most important consequences of attaining and garnering the love of people towards you, especially good people. As we mentioned, good attracts good. An action done with a good intention will obviously, and by seeing the good intentions of others or by giving others good intentions, you yourself will be the benefactor of that particular act. But obviously, the opposite is true when it comes to su'izan, or suspicion, ill intentions of the other. And this is something that has been warned against in the Holy Quran, and the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are plentiful with these traditions that tell us to stay away from suspicion, to stay away from giving, you know, or thinking bad about other people, about their intentions, about their acts, and so on and so forth. So in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said that, beware of suspicion. And suspicion here basically means that to think bad about somebody. To say that person is doing this for so-and-so act, or for so-and-so purpose. Not knowing exactly why the person is doing, but you are giving, you know, judgments towards the act of that particular person. So beware of suspicion, for verily suspicion is the worst of all lies. Lying in itself is a very bad sin. It is one of the major sins, especially when we compare it to the context in which the lie was done. Now, one of the things that is important to understand, that lying is not an absolute bad thing. There are certain conditions, but lying is necessary. Again, this is for the jurists and in the jurisprudential side of the shows and the fiqh shows to discuss. But here, for example, this type of lie, the Imam is saying, is the worst type of lie. Why? Because when you lie to somebody else, you know, that person can find out the truth, they can go and do research, they can ignore you, and so on and so forth. They can ignore you easier. However, this is an internal lie. You are lying to yourself. You are making yourself believe something. So you are everything. No one's coming to tell you. No one, you know, trying to solve it from you. Even if it just eats you from the inside, you don't even have to say it. It is there, and it takes a long, you know, asserted effort for a person to escape from that particular dungeon in which he has placed himself into. That is self-lying. That you suspect somebody so much that you think that it becomes true. And that particular suspicion you have is true of that particular person, and therefore you're actually lying to yourself and taking yourself deeper into the quagmire of the sins which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned regarding su'idhan, or Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi wasallam have mentioned. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from su'idhan, and to make us of those who always, in all our practices, practice husnidhan. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. We are going to talk about a famous Quranic reciter, then we're going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter, and then brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzaiqi. He's a current Egyptian reciter who was born in 1943 in a Quranic family where all of his family members were Hafil and reciter of the Noble Quran. Ahmad al-Ruzaiqi believes that each Qari must have his own special style. He's a prominent master of Arabic maqamat. In 1991, he visited Iran and recited in some gatherings, including the mourning ceremony of the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 25 to 28 of Surah Al-Hud, recited by Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzaiqi, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And indeed we sent Noah to his people, saying, I have come to you as a plain warner, that you worship none but Allah. Surely I fear for you the punishment of a painful day. The chiefs of the disbelievers among his people said, We see you but a man like ourselves, nor do we see any follow you but the meanest among us. And they followed you without thinking, and we do not see in you any merit above us. In fact, we think you are liars. He said, O my people, tell me, if I have a clear proof from my Lord, and a mercy has come to me from him, but that mercy has been obscured from your sight, shall we compel you to accept it when you have a strong hatred for it?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه إني لكم نذير مبين ألا تعبدوا عليكم عذاب يوم أليم فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما نراك إلا بشرا ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك اتبعك إلا الذين هم أراذلنا بادي الرأي وما نرى لكم علي قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي وآتاني رحمة وآتاني رحمة من عنده فعميت عليكم أنلزمكموها
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 25 to 28 of Surah Hud.
recited by Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, in these verses that were recited, if you notice, in these two verses, we didn't have a waqf sign anywhere in the middle of these two verses. So you have to take care that you stop in the appropriate place and then continue from the right place, because whenever there is no waqf sign, it means that you have to recite the whole verse with one breath.
It's a kind
That's
of science,
the best
I think.
Thing to do, but it's almost impossible.
Waqf wal ibtida is a science.
It's a science,
kind of, yeah.
Yes, it's a science. It's similar to the science of tajweed in that there are different rules. And sometimes you could make a big mistake and stop where you're not supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and that would change the meaning in a very negative way. Or if you continue from somewhere, it would change the meaning. So Sheikh Ahmad al-Ruzayqi, he stops on the word mithlana, and that's a good place to stop. And then he continues from ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا until the end of the verse, which is very difficult. And he has a very good breath that he's able to do this. ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك اتبعك إلا الذين هم أراذلنا بادي الرأي وما نرى لكم علينا من فضل بل نظنكم كاذبين. He recites this
entire... It requires a long breath.
It's almost 43 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. And that's marvelous. Not any reciter could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are many rules of tajweed. For example, we have naraka. The ra has tafkhim, and it's right in between two letters of tarqiq. So we only have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim. And we have to be careful that the tafkhim of the ra is not affected by the tawqiq of the two letters that are before and after the ra, and also the opposite, vice versa. The tafkhim of the ra does not affect the tawqiq of the two letters before and after the ra. For example, if you say nareka,
You're pronouncing all the letters with thinness.
And if you say naraka, you're pronouncing all of them with tafkhim.
And again, it is wrong.
Yeah, whenever we have a fatha and aliful mad, the easiest thing you can do is that the way you open the mouth, whenever you want to pronounce a letter of tarqiq, you pronounce it with, you open your mouth horizontally. And when you want to pronounce a letter of tafkhim, you open the mouth vertically. Naraka.
Naraka.
Yes, this really helps. Of course, you should not exaggerate this. Even if you slightly open the mouth horizontally and slightly vertically, that would do.
But I think in order to practice, it would be helpful to exaggerate.
Exaggerate, yes, that's right. But once you master it, you should not exaggerate. You don't say naraka.
Mm-hmm.
That would be incorrect. Naraka.
Okay. But it is allowed in practicing.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far, Islamic scholar,
The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, describes the status or the levels of Akhirah. He says in a tradition, those who possess the knowledge of the Quran shall be the leaders or administrators of paradise. Yani they will be the one who will be giving out rules. They will be the ones who will be obeyed.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbik wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak Allahumma أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا
In this part of the supplication and in these divine phrases, the commander of the believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is asking three positions from his Lord. أَسْأَلُكَ بِجُودِكَ أَن تُدْنِيَنِي مِنْ قُرْبِكَ I ask you through your munificence to bring me nearer to your mercy, which was the station of nearness. وَأَن تُوزِعَنِي شُكْرَكَ And to bless me with gratitude to you, which is the position of gratitude. وَأَن تُلْهِمَنِي ذِكْرَكَ And to inspire me with your remembrance, the position of remembrance. We have sufficiently discussed the position of nearness, and we are to discuss the gratitude position. These are the positions that Almighty Allah's favorite servants gained, the gratitude positions, only due to their vigorous attempts. It is so high a position that only a few can obtain it. And this is what the Holy Quran says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. But few of my servants are grateful. The valuable narrator, the late Mullah Muhammad al-Baqir Majlisi, says about this gratitude position, الشُّكْرُ الْإِعْتِرَافُ بِالنِّعْمَةِ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. Gratitude is acknowledging the blessings, وَمَعْرِفَةُ الْمُنْعِمِ وَصَرْفُهَا فِيمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ, and the provider of the blessings, and spending our blessings in ways we are ordered. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has stated, شُكْرُ النِّعْمَةِ اِجْتِنَابُ الْمَحَارِمِ. Being grateful of Almighty Allah's blessings is avoiding all that is unlawful. So this is one aspect of being grateful. At the end of his sermon on Ashura night, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked the Almighty, فَجْعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. O Lord, set us as your grateful servants, which means that this is a very high position and station. Regarding this word gratitude, Raghib Isfahani says, gratitude has three levels, hearty, verbal, and practical. Hearty gratitude is just knowing the blessings as well as the provider of the blessings. Verbal gratitude is confessing to the blessings, and the practical gratitude is consuming the blessings in the ways which Almighty Allah, the creator of all of us, has ordered.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has narrated this tradition. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal awha ila Musa, Ya Musa, ushkurni haqqa shukri. The Almighty revealed to Moses, O Moses, be grateful to me as I deserve it. فَقَالَ يَا رَبِّ وَكَيْفَ أَشْكُرُكَ حَقَّ شُكْرِكَ وَلَيْسَ مِنْ شُكْرٍ إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Very interesting, Moses says. He says, O God, O Lord, how should I be grateful to you as you deserve it, while I thank you for your blessings by my tongue that is another blessing of you? The Almighty Allah says, يَا مُوسَى الْآنْ شَكَرْتَنِي حَيْثُ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنِّي. O Moses, you are grateful now, as you understood that even your tongue is my blessing. This is what the true servants of the Almighty Allah consider. This is the true recognition of those servants. That's why we read in Arafah's supplication of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, وَلَوْ حَرَسْتُ أَنَا وَالْعَادُّونَ مِنْ أَنَامِكَ أَنْ نُحْسِيَ مَدَى إِنْعَامِكَ سَالِفِهِ وَآنِفِهِ مَا حَصَرْنَاهُ عَدَدًا وَلَا أَحْسَيْنَاهُ أَمَدًا. If I crave for more, taken up with greed to have an idea about the bounties of you, given and to be given with the help of the expert accountants, we shall neither be able to fence in the sum total, nor reckon, nor agree with each other, also from where and how all that was made available to us. This is one aspect and one definition of the gratitude position. We'll talk about this position more in the next programs, God willing. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stand here so unafraid of everything around me. Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
La, 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 la.
we're going to talk about the unlawful gains, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Let's take a listen to a short biography, and we'll be back. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid, according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to build a complex containing a prison and a police station for the use of a tyrannical government? And is it permissible to work in such a project, like to find a job as a prison ward, mm-hmm. or even a civil engineer who helps building such a place, you know, like a police station or a prison for such government?
Yes. You're right. Well, there's no objection to construct such a complex, provided that it's not intended for unjust practices, you know, or for imprisonment of